Book of John, chapter number 4, begin reading in verse number 7. God's looking for honesty tonight, church. That's it. That's it. When we honestly admit our need of Him, He is truth, and He will move. And tonight, it's our responsibility to respond. I felt led all week, and I shared at youth night a little bit, just kind of a rabbit trail off of what I feel like sharing tonight. But I am so thankful for the love of God. The love of God. We have been so careless and frivolous with that word love in this generation, describing everything from our favorite pizza to our favorite team to, you know, things that have no bearing in life. But there is something beautiful about love. Amen. And I think the reason that we'll find that is going to be in these scriptures, why love is so powerful. Let's begin reading in verse 7, and we'll read the first few verses, and then I'll have you sit, and then I'll finish reading, because I've got a few to read tonight. Amen. Verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might what? Live through Him. Hallelujah. Let's read that last verse together. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. I want to preach tonight on this idea of living in love. Living in love. Amen. You can be seated tonight. We've prayed several times already. The Bible goes on to say in verse 10, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Amen. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. Praise the Lord. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. I want us to catch this right here. Three simple words, but oh, it's profound. God is love. Now, if any of us have grown up in church or even had an understanding of church, you maybe have seen the little pencils or erasers or the little children's t-shirts, God is love. I mean, you see that terminology, God is love, God is love. But think about the profound impact that that is. Did He not just say that we live through Him? Who are we talking about? Living through God, living through Christ? Therefore, if God is love, we can literally live in love. I want you to know tonight, my world was changed by Christ. And I would say that you would say amen to that, those of you who are believers. And a new love came into my heart that I had not known. Now, we can have there are several different types of love. You can have, you know, phileo love. You can have Philadelphia love. You can have all these different types of love that is a love one to another, one to a brother, one to God, an agape love. But there is a love that can only be produced in the heart of mankind by knowing God. I believe that's why the world is in such a desperate state today to feel love. The Bible talks about how that in the last days, and it gives a list of attitudes that would be prevalent amongst the generation that is living in the last days. And not one time in that description, that narrative, does it ever mention love. It talks about that there would be those who would be high-minded, they would be heady, they would be lovers of themselves more than lovers of others. I mean, all these things that are negative, and yet not one time in the last days did it ever say that they would love one another. And yet Jesus said, "This commandment I write unto you, that you love one another." It is amazing. One of the most beautiful things of being a part of the family of God and the kingdom of God. I've been blessed my whole life with being a part of a great family, a blood family. Helfensteins, Hoffmans, McKelveys. Sometimes it gets crazy, but it's been a great ride, all right? It's been fun. Family is great, but not everybody has a great family situation. And God knows that. And so when he saves us, and we're talking about that, we're talking about a message from John the Beloved writing to the people of the church. John is an aged man by now, and no doubt he is reminiscing upon his days with Christ as he's followed him. But he said, "Everyone that loveth is born of God." We preached a few weeks ago that there is no hope unless we have been born again. Tonight, I believe I'm talking to a congregation of those who would say and testify, "I have been born again. My life has been changed by the power and the grace of Jesus Christ." We're not the same that we were before Christ. We can't stay the same. You see, that would be an oxymoron to be a Christian and yet stay in the same place that we're at. God never intends us to remain in our bondage, to remain in our sin. Romans said, "What? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" There is no living in death. There is no joy in death. There's only heartache and destruction. We know that. And yet Christ is telling us, and the Word of God is telling us, that we can literally live in God. And God is love. Now the danger of living in this generation is this: we can be influenced and affected by the world around us. That's why we got to guard our hearts. Have you ever been in association with someone for a length of time and not even begin to realize you talk like them? I'm serious. Somebody gave me the highest compliment the other night. They said, "You pray like your mom." Oh, what a compliment. You can literally be around someone for so long, you start taking on characteristics. Twitches, you know, slang, lingo. You can walk the same. We had a neighbor when we were growing up, and on Old Dayton Road is the only kid in like ever around us. It's Corn and this one kid, so we chose the kid. And my mom, though, she got on to me one time. We hung out with this guy all the time, and I came home one day and she said, "You stop it. I don't even know what I'm doing." She said, "You're talking like him, you're using words like him, and you're even gesturing like him. Stop it. You are not him." And at the time, I thought, all right, whatever. You know, I probably used the same lingo he used. But anyway, we can take on characteristics of those around us. That's why we have youth group. I don't know if you understand this, young people. The reason we have a youth group is so that you have a place to go that's out of the world, that is a fellowship with those who also want to be like Christ. That is why we have church picnics. So that we can have an opportunity and a moment to just get away from it all. Play some cornhole. Play some football. Eat some fried chicken. Laugh and listen to good music. Hallelujah. It's like a member of the family. Last year when we didn't have the church picnic, I literally felt like I was missing. That's probably why we didn't have a good winter. You know, something was missing. Now, you can't help circumstances. But God has designed the kingdom of God to be a family that is there for one another. Jesus said, "They shall know that you are my disciples if what? You have love one for another." Don't we need one another? I need you. I don't know if you know that. I need you. I need to know that there are those in my life who are not changing. I need to be able to come into the house of God with my family and know there is a place and a group of people that are heading in the same direction that I want my family to go. I need to know that when I wake up on Monday morning, if I needed to, if I had to call one of the brothers in the church and say, "Listen, brother, I've got a need. Can you help me pray?" I'd be able to call Brother Zane, Brother Heath, Brother Philip, Brother Aaron. I could name any of the men here in the church. I'm just picking out random. I could call you and know that there is going to be someone out there in the world that is going to be able to team up with me in prayer. I need that. I need to know that there's going to be a place where my little girl is going to be able to come to Sunday school and put an ornament on a tree at Christmas time. I need to know that. Praise God. It is the little things that make a church fun. Do you love your brother and sister tonight? I want you to think about that. Do you avoid them when they're walking down the pew or the aisle? Do you go the other way? Do you look at them and instead of saying, "Man, go, way to go." Listen, tonight I'm excited. I have watched in the past several weeks God ministering across the congregation. And not to just point anybody out, but I'm saying across this congregation, I have watched as folks have lifted their hands and worship, holy hands, hands that are free, hands that are no longer bound by sin. I have been joyful in watching the growth of young believers. I am thrilled to know that God is cementing in the hearts of His people, His word, a dedication for the truth. Listen, we need one another tonight, church, and it's time that we start getting excited and joyful in this race that we are running with our brothers and with our sisters. Why? We need one another. Hallelujah. We need one another. This is not a competition. This isn't a me versus you, a talent show. We're not watching with judges trying to decide who's got the best voice. We're trying to make it to heaven. Hallelujah. And I just say it's a lot more fun to walk with you all than it is to walk alone. The prophet sat and he was under a tree and he's wailing and weeping, "God, you've called me to do this work and here I am. I'm all alone. The queen wants to kill me. Everybody hates me. Nobody loves you like I love you." And God said, "No, you're not alone. There's thousands of people that have not bowed their knee to Baal. There are those out there that love me like you love me. We need one another." Hallelujah. Woo. Oh, we need one another. Sometimes I don't feel an unction to worship on my own. It gets stressful. You all know it. There are moments when we may not, maybe just don't feel, we may feel tired. I don't know. And you can look over and a saint of God starts to get a little liberated in the spirit and begins to worship. And it's not too long until that joy comes back. You're feeling a little bit of God. Amen. Your spirit starts to revive. We need one another. Amen. There have been moments when we've been so discouraged and so down and distraught, and a man of God stand up and testify about what God is doing, and it be the exact word and the exact moment that we needed. Why? Because God knows we need one another. Amen. There have been moments when folks have come in physically drained, maybe battling sickness, and they need a comforter to come by, and God knows how to use people, and a friend come by and put their arm around them and not even say a word, but just say, "I'm praying for you," or begin to pray for him. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God makes himself known in that situation. We need one another. Hallelujah. Now, when we take on characteristics of the world, this is what we've got to be careful of. There is a spirit of jealousy amongst the world today, a corporate ladder climbing syndrome. Somehow, if I'm not in charge, I am not going to support that. Somehow, if I'm not given credit, I don't want to be a part of it. But I will tell you this, the kingdom of God needs people to bake cookies. Praise God. I love that. Cookie ministry. I wish more people had it. I'm just saying. If somebody feels, I told Sister Joanna, if you feel led to start a cheesecake ministry, I'd like to sign up. There's all sorts of places in the body of Christ to minister that's not up here. We've had folks go into nursing home services every Sunday for years. They're not preaching up here, but they're faithful. We've had folks in this church clean clothes, go over and bake dishes and food and do all sorts of things. Nobody pats them on the back. They might, but you don't get it up here. It's not in the bulletin. But I sure tell you, it makes a difference. It makes a huge difference when you're at a loss in the family and your mind is so that you can't even think, how do I make that dish that I've always made, because you're so distraught. And yet the kingdom of God just wraps around you and says, here, we got dishes for you tonight. We got food for you tonight. That's ministry. The Bible talks about ministering not in word, not just speaking it, saying, you know, you see somebody that needs a coat and you say, be clothed. No, you give them the coat. You buy the coat. And church, tonight, we are in a place in our nation where there's jealousy in the ranks. There's contention. The Bible said in the book of Matthew chapter 24, people will be easily offended. And if we are not living in that time, I don't know what time we're living in. You can look at somebody the wrong way. You can have a twitching eye from stress, and somebody will leave saying, that guy gave me the stink eye. So easily offended. And all you got, you got, your eyes are dry and you can't even look straight, and somebody's leaving thinking you're mad at them. Offended at everything. They get offended at the word of God when a pastor stands before you and preaches the truth of God's word, and he studied and prayed and laid before God as your shepherd, and folks want to leave the house of God upset because somebody had the audacity to tell them how God expects them to live. We're offended at everything. That's not the right paint. It's not the right color. I wanted the picnic next Saturday. I don't want to have to miss this. You do it my way. I want glow in the dark to have a laser show. I want everything to be my way. Can we have a laser show? Offended at everything. You know what we need? We need candy. You know what the love of God says? I'm just going to buy candy. You think, how is that ministry? It's because you love your brothers and sisters enough to know this is my part. Love one another. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. He's given us the example. I was reading this week again how the Lord at the Last Supper took off his robe and placed upon himself the robe of a servant, the towel of a servant, and began to wash the feet of his disciples. This would never have been done. Some even balked at this, but he said, no, you have to let me do this. But you do it also. Serve one another. Put their needs ahead of your own. Give them the last thing that you want. Just minister to each other. Sometimes we don't even realize that in our sarcastic generation, and we are a sarcastic generation, and I am just as much guilty as anybody else. Sarcasm has been replaced, or we have replaced joyfulness and a kind word with a sarcastic tongue. Everything is a joke now. Everything is a sharp comeback. And it is funny. It is funny. There's a lot of funny things that can be said. But the reality is this. You can begin a habit of doing that and offend someone, and it be an offense that hurts. I watched this week, and it's so true, a man giving a testimony. He said the biggest lie we have ever taught our children is the statement, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yes, they do. It's time we start complimenting one another instead of condemning and tearing each other down. Aren't we all heading to the same place? I hope we're heading in the same direction tonight. How long has it been since you went to a brother or sister and said, I appreciate you for, and you fill in the blank? How long has it been? You say, well, they don't do that to me. It's a good time to start. It's a good time to start. Now, church, I think tonight we've got one of the most loving churches I've ever been to. And I say that honestly. I love this church. I love being a part of it. I'm not ashamed to admit where I go. I love being a part of this body. Yesterday was a blast, and we're going to have more good times to come, Lord willing. There are moments we need just to say and remind those around us how much they mean to us. Love one another. Edify and build up the body. He gave us an example. God did. He said in John 15:12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Do you feel loved tonight by Christ? Hasn't he loved you? Now, are you loving those around you? Fathers, are you loving your children as much as God loved you? Wives, are you loving your husbands and vice versa? As much as God loves you? I just want to do better. I just want to love better. You see, we need one another. And he's given us example how to know to show that. The next thing is the example. Yeah, he's given us that. But he's also told us to edify one another, to build up. You know, I'm not musically inclined in terms of well, pretty much anything. I love music, though. Sister Rebecca, you do a fantastic job leading our choir. Musicians, you guys are amazing. You do an amazing job. You're faithful. And without you, we could not have worship. I know that you guys get used when we're up here praying or other things are going on, but you need to know that you are a vital part of this church. Sister Tricia, Brother Brad, you do a great work with the youth choir. Thank you. We need it. We need it. How long has it been since we built up someone else? I know we want to be built up. I know we want to leave the house of God thinking we're all that. But I tell you this much, when you do something for somebody else without any desire for something back, God will bless you. He will. You don't have to have material goods to know that you're loved. Okay? Let's love one another. We edify, we build up, and we encourage. The book of Proverbs, chapter 25, verse 11. This is a verse that was beat into my head as a child. I say that with all the love in the world. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. The reason it was beat into my head is because I was not speaking words fitly spoken. And they weren't like apples of gold. They were like rotten apples. So that was a little discipling, Brother Bill. How long has it been since you gave somebody a word fitly spoken? How long has it been since you reminded the board that you do appreciate their leadership in our church? Because I'm telling you what, we've got it good. I'm just saying, church, it's time we reflect upon what God has given us. Look around at this place. God gave us this. The fact that you can be anywhere in the world tonight and connected to Union Pentecostal Church is a testimony of the blessings God has bestowed upon us. The fact that we have a pastor and his family who are the most amazing pastors in the world, and we got to keep Sister Hurst this time. Bam. Thank you. All right. So we don't, you know what I'm saying? We are blessed here. The world wants us to live in negativity. It wants us to live in doubt. It wants us to live in a discouraged mindset. Everything in the world is negative. Poor me. I'm a victim. Everything is you need to do something for me to help me. It's time we just stop and say, God, thank you. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. Thank you for providing. Thank you for fried chicken from Lee's. Thank you, God. Whatever it takes, let's have a thankful heart and edify and encourage one another. Brothers and sisters, I need you and I love you tonight, and we're going to make it. Hallelujah. We're going to make it. We've already faced things in this church that we didn't know how we were going to come out of it. But we're still here and we're going on. Why? Because the love of God will abound and flourish in those who love God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, God, I need you. The last part of this text in 1 John chapter 4 says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." I've quoted this in my lifetime so many times and never really grasped that this was talking about the love of God. Perfect love casts out all fear. The church ought to be a sanctuary. That's why we call it that. This ought to be a place of shelter. No fear here. No torment here. This is God's house. Amen. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he is a liar. That's harsh, but it's true. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. I love you tonight. You can take that, everybody, if you want. Whatever. Somebody was thinking, he's not talking about me. You know, there's moments that as a family, anybody that's been on a long road trip and not prayed through before, during, and after can tell you, family can sometimes hit nerves and buttons that only family knows about. Amen. Oh, Arkansas trips. And we didn't have iPads. Praise the Lord. Family knows sometimes the way to get under skin and to just hurt. Sometimes you don't even mean to, but you just are close to one another. Sometimes we need to make things right with our brothers and sisters. The Bible said that if a man have an ought against his brother and he come to the altar with a gift, he should leave his gift at the altar and go take care of that thing with the brother, make it right, then come back. I'll tell you this, there are so many times that we want God to bless us. We want the anointing. We want the joy. We want peace. We want financial help. We want all this stuff. And yet, as soon as we get to the altar to pray about the things, God says, "Yeah, but remember you and brother so-and-so had this disagreement. Why don't you just go make it right?" I ain't making it right with him. There's no way I'd apologize to that man. Boom, already, God done. We're not going anywhere with God. I'll tell you this much. We just need one another enough to say, "I'm sorry." We don't need anybody else to leave because we hurt them. We need people to know that we love them. I'll tell you what. There have been moments in this church where I've walked in so discouraged. Somebody put their arm around me and say, "Brother Brian, I love you. I'm praying for you. It changed my whole day." This church loves people. And sometimes we just need to know that we need each other enough to say, "I would rather make it to heaven with you than to keep this little petty thing here." If we love God, we'll love our brother. Amen. Let's stand tonight. We're going to do something a little bit different tonight. Okay? I don't want you guys to come to the altar. I know, right? I want you to let your brothers and sisters know tonight that you love them. Now, if you need to come to the altar, by all means, come. I'm not going to stop you from coming. Don't fall out with me. I'd hate for that to come between us. I just feel like tonight that before we come, stop and let your brothers and sisters know that you love them. If it's appropriate, you know, ladies get with ladies and men get with men. Talk to about 4 or 5 people. Let them know you love them. Even maybe compliment them. "Brother Steve, I like that suit. It's a sharp suit. Love you, man. That's my Uncle Bruno. I haven't called you that in a long time. Uncle Steve's been a great friend to our family at some of the hardest times of our life. He's been a great uncle. Thank you. You see, sometimes people don't want to share love with other folks because for so long they've been used to holding in the pain, and it brings things to their remembrance, and it brings up emotions, and it brings up stuff that they like to keep inside. But I tell you, even men tonight, hear me, we need these men in this church. You need your brothers more than this you could ever know. I'm thankful for our men's ministry. Brother Jim, you're doing a great job with our men's ministry. Thank you. Church, we need one another. Let your brothers and sisters know that you love them. And tonight, before you come pray, go to your friend, go to your family, go to whoever. Meet up with about 4 or 5 people and just tell them what you love about them. And then let's come pray, okay? Can we do that tonight? Little exercise. And then this week, let's put it into action. Can we do that before Wednesday night? Maybe call somebody, email, text, Facebook, whatever. And just let them know, I appreciate you. Thank you for this, or whatever. Okay? Let's love one another tonight, church, and then we'll come pray. Amen. Let's love one another. Go, love.
Be